To Wormwood, and I talked about Wormwood, and I showed why in all of these up to this point from Revelation 8 down to Wormwood, and the thing about everything that I've taught so far, you don't have to be a geologist to understand it. You don't have to be a meteorologist to understand it. Just believe what it says. And what I believe God raised me up for was to explain it, not from the aspect of this can't be true, but this must be true. And so I taught this the same way without any explanation through all of these things. But when God said in Genesis that he would destroy man with the earth, and then he described how he was going to do it, I just believed he was going to do it that way, even though I didn't know what he meant when he said he broke up the fountains of the great deep. And I went back and explained all that. But I made a case in all this to show you it's not necessary to understand geology or anything else. For instance, in this Wormwood. Now, I did this on everything above this. So I'm going to start with verse 10. And I'm going to talk about it, because we just had a comet land on a far, far, far away comet. We had a very sophisticated kind of equipment make a landing on a far away comet. And the achievement of doing this is virtually impossible. But as I told you, when someone asked me the first time when I was young, you know, what is this? I've always had an analytical mind. And so I looked at it and I said, this was a heavenly body that fell from heaven. And it looked like a lamp that was burning. And the lamp it was turning but talking about, even back then I knew that the little Aladdin's lamps that they had were like the ones they had in the Bible. And it had a fiery head. And because the actual olive oil wasn't that pure, unless it was going to be used in food, and what they didn't purify, it just put out a long tail. And so the coal oil we used back then wasn't purified. And it was just like a regular lamp that we have that went up. So I looked at that and I said, well, what does this thing do? And I read it, looked at it, read some more. More and more. And finally, what really caught my attention as being the most important thing in here was, and the waters became wormwood. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Whatever this thing is, it dissolves in water. Well, I knew even back as a child in grade school, well, maybe not grade school, but yeah, I knew that by the sixth grade, that the things that fell from the sky and hit on the earth were called meteors. I didn't know there was three different stages of a meteor, meteor, meteoroid, meteorite. I didn't know that as a child. But I knew one thing. When you made Kool-Aid, the water in which you put the Kool-Aid became the Kool-Aid. It became the wormwood. It became the Kool-Aid. It's that simple. So I didn't have to be a geologist. So I'd said, well, it's a heavenly body that comes down. And it falls in the oceans and seas of the world. And I also noticed that many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. It gave water a bitter taste. And it was poison. So, see, I'm just a kid. A lot of people just buy books, commentaries by men who don't have analytical minds. And they make it everything under the sun. So I don't know. I guess God gave me an analytical mind. I believe he did. So when I looked at the book of Revelation, the first and foremost thing, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. So even when I was a child, I didn't have to be any of those things. It's just something that you read it and you ask yourself, why did he go into such great detail? Well, he had a reason. And I figured out whatever this thing was. And I knew what a meteorite was. I didn't know what an asteroid was. And there are two kinds of asteroids. One of them's a comet. And there's another kind that's not so much of a comet, not so much of a meteor. So I could go through all kinds of scientific dissertations on this, but my point is, I knew what this was from the very beginning. It was an object that came down from the heavens, and it came down and went in the water, and it dissolved. God didn't write this book to meteorologists or people with great minds. And the Bible says, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He didn't say no people that were mighty or no people that were wise were called. He didn't say that. He said not many. So when he saved me at age 12, he certainly didn't call a very wise, mighty man. He just used me to learn the things so I could explain them to people in the last days. I had no idea he was going to do that. So after it was all over and you look at these things, when I first started doing this lecture series, my evidence was not nearly as strong as it is now. When I went around, I told them, this has to be a comet. Because by that time, the scientists had figured out that comets were great balls of ice, solid ice, with all kind of stones and inside it, some little, some big. They were frozen together in a cluster. And when God first created the earth, here came the comets. And they were formed when God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bingo, they were a part of it. And so he made them. And he knows exactly what they are. And he knows exactly what they're made of. So the only thing at that time they knew was that comets were ice balls. That's what I call them. Ice balls, not snowballs. Ice balls. And in them there were just huge chunks of rock. Maybe only one great big one and then millions of little ones. Or maybe millions of little ones and then some fairly nice sized ones. But that's what they knew about them. That's all they knew. I had no idea what the poison was in them. Because you don't find many people in grade school that can teach chemistry. I had no idea what. I didn't know anything about the things like they are now. Why not? Well, I just had God's word and I took it. So what did I do? Well, when I first started teaching this, I told people, I said, there's poison in there. And it dissolves in water. The only thing like that is a comet. And I have to confess that I was a little scared when they finally made a pass by a comet and they had all that electronic equipment on, all that testing equipment, and they tested it. I had taught people that they were poisonous. And I said there's probably several different types of chemicals in there that are deadly poisonous. When that thing went by and they got the reports back, they said, oh, Brother McElmurray, you really are smart. No, that's not true. I just took what the Bible said, and when they came by there, sure enough, there was all that poison. And that's the truth. And so the more they had flybys and the more they checked it, the more it had to be a comet. And it is a comet. And I've kept up with comets ever since. And I'm mighty thankful to God's word that I knew I knew what they were. They were poisonous. They were frozen. And when they melted into water, they were poisonous. And so that settled that. But by that time, people had begun to think that, man, because I was a geologist or because I was a meteorologist, I understood all this stuff and nobody else did. They could have understood it, but for some reason, God raised me up to do it. So here I am. And I love my family. And I would like very much to have stayed at home. And I came up here with the idea that I was going to stay as long as the church would let me, as long as God would let me. I was going to earn a living teaching school up here. Maybe one day church would be able to have me a leading edge. But I want you to understand something. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it means just what it says. So anytime someone says, well, you know, all that other stuff, it's not all that other stuff. Because all that other stuff was made by God. And I started presenting all this by faith. And as time has passed, I see why. God wanted me to have faith. God wanted me to tell geologists and to tell them at Arkansas Tech, there are springs of water on the ocean seafloor. And I told them that long before scientists ever knew it was down there. And other people on this comet stuff, they said it was a star. Well, back then, if somebody had said star, I would have just said a heavenly object. Because even then, I knew there were more things up there than stars. But I didn't know that the word aster can mean a comet, an asteroid. It can mean an actual fixed star in the heavens. Any one of the three it can mean in the languages. Aster can mean a comet. It can mean a meteorite. It can mean an actual star in the heavens that we've identified as stars. But I knew this had to be a comet. Now, when the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that is a very literal statement. The fact that you're three women back there, you need to know that. And I don't care what your sex is, what your relationship in the church is, what position you hold, if anything. It's something God wants you to know. And women are supposed to know all this just about as much as men. Because if you want to know the truth, there wouldn't be a lot of preachers in the ministry if it wasn't for women. And God knows that. And I didn't realize that. When I grew up, I wasn't much of a chauvinist or anything else. I just was a man who knew girls. I liked to be around girls. And that's about all I knew about it. And I remember when I first started feeling peculiar around him. I just like to be around him for some reason. And when after you marry a woman, and if you marry a woman that's a nice woman, pretty soon you'll discover that she's smarter than you are in a lot of ways. And you'll discover that she is equipped by God to put up with a lot more than you are. And you just learn to love them for what they are. And then you start trying to treat them like they treat you. Some men never do. And it could be any man that never does. But women that go ahead and put up with them and love them have a great reward waiting in heaven, because your job is the hardest. It's not hard for me to get up here and do this. It's not hard for me to pastor this church. But what you do as a wife is something that is much harder than pastoring a church. I believe that. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see a lot of women in prominent positions that were meek, kind, mild, gentle, tried to please God. And I think all these things here like this, I think women like this just as much as men. Now, when it says the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters. Now, this tells me that this is going to strike somewhere and it mixes with the water in that area, and some of it is transferred over about a third part of the earth. Now, when I say transferred, well, when I was in kindergarten, when I was in grade school, by the sixth grade, I knew that they had already taught us, we'd had geography, and they had already told us that actually two-thirds of the water surface, the earth's surface was water, and one-third was liquid. And then they changed it to a quarter, and then they changed it to, and they've changed it around two or three times. I've got the exact figure over at the house somewhere now. But finally, after they've got it all measured, it's about a third. And so it affects that. Now, in the sixth grade, I didn't even know what the hydrological cycle was. I certainly couldn't have spelled hydrological. I was a poor speller. And so I just never bothered with that sort of stuff. But after God got me doing this, I became a meteorologist, and I'm a good one. I'm a professional one. I love it. Love every minute of it. And enjoyed it thoroughly. Still do. So did Don Johnson. But I learned about the hydrological cycle. Why did God want me to be a meteorologist? Well, I'm sure he had a lot of reasons, but one of them was he wanted me to know about the hydrological cycle. He wanted me to know that the hydrological cycle distributes the actual water content in vapor, and it pours out on the land. So he let me know that, you know, there's going to be places where are poisoned, that it's carried around by the hydrological cycle. So you put all this together, and here's one thing I know. A third of the earth is going to be affected by this, both land and sea. Because you've got lots of water on land, and it'll get in that water too. So the next thing, when it says, and many men died because the waters, because they were made bitter. Whatever this was had to taste bitter. Well, I discovered, and I told people, when I started going around, based on faith, I said, it's going to make the water taste bitter. And I said, poison does. And I said, so some poison doesn't, but I said, this will have poison in it. It will have a bitter taste. Well, sure enough, every one of them they discovered, and they know now that they have a bitter taste. They were made bitter. So by the time I was midway in these lectures, going all over creation, I suddenly realized, it's the absolute truth. I don't have to anymore say, I believe it's a comet because God says so. Well, I do believe it's a comet because God says so. But now I know it's a comet because the same one who I believed by faith, he's let it be known. Somebody's out there. And so the third part of, we get down to that, and I want to finish this second one here, and then we'll just start off on the next one. The important thing about all this is that now I sit here, after 40 years as your pastor, having gone to more than 700 missionary Baptist churches, 20 different missionary Baptist seminaries, and I give you my word, I am not trying to impress you. I'm way past that stage. I'm just trying to teach you something that will be extremely beneficial to you and to anyone else who will believe it. When this tribulation period starts, do you really think that who was it? Oh, okay. 1201. So here we are, and I enjoyed my life. I enjoyed being a young man. I enjoyed my life. I've had a wonderful life. I have nothing to complain about whatsoever. But if all this stuff had started and I'd have been a teenager and had no idea what was happening, how would I have felt? Okay, now am I 82? Suppose I still didn't know any of this. Suppose I didn't know it. What would happen when all this happens? How would I feel? How would I think at age 82? Well, I'll just tell you plain out, I'm not scared of this at all. And I'm anxious for it to happen. You say, well, what about my grandkids? And what about my great-grandkids? And what about my friends? And what about my relatives? And what about this? And what about that? Listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Listen, he did all this. And he's telling us in advance he's going to do it. And he's had me doing it so long, I know it's the truth. It's God's truth. And you say, well, if you didn't know any of this meteorology or science, would you be sitting up there being a sky? Probably not. But I would still believe that God said it would happen and it would happen. Now I know it will. You say, well, what do you think of that? Well, I think God's wonderful. Because, you know, your carnal man is mighty hard to live with. And a carnal woman, carnal man, however you want to put it. And I just rejoice in it. And doesn't bother me at all. And when it happens, you think I'm going to be worried about being shot and martyred or anything? You think I'm going to be afraid of death? If I had known this as a teenager and believed it like I do today, I'd feel the same way. I'm sure of it. But as a teenager, I was interested in a lot of other things. And as a man in his middle ages, I was interested in a lot of other things. Now I'm not interested in anything except doing my job that God assigned me, loving the people that I minister to, and looking forward to seeing Jesus, and looking forward after I see him to see all those people in my life that I have so greatly admired, and living there forever and ever and doing whatever he tells me to do. Now he says, and the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, first time I ever read that as a boy, I thought, okay, he's going to go. Wham! And a little third part of the moon wouldn't be visible. And I thought, then he's going to go up there and he's going to hit the sun was smitten. He's going to hit the sun and boom! He says, third part of the sun was smitten. Okay, that takes care of that. I believed exactly what God said. I didn't argue. That's it. And so but that's what I thought it meant. And the sun showed not for a third part of it. Okay. And the day showed not for a third part of it. Not a third part of the night. I admit I got thoroughly confused on that. But I said, that's the word of God. See, I'd been taught that. And that's a wonderful thing to believe. That's the way you're supposed to think. But my carnal nature, you say, well, you shouldn't pay any attention to him. Listen, that carnal nature has dominated a large part of my life. I tried not to pay attention to him, but the old boy gave me a lot of pleasure at times. You say, well, it was all in the flesh. And God's going to get you. That's why Jesus died. God understands all that. And so he saved me. And after that, what a fight. But the fight was between my carnal nature and my new nature. In my new nature, God gave some help. So I got to looking at that. And now this I did figure out after I became a meteorologist. I understood about the tropopause layer. I understood about and God made the tropopause layer. And I thought about the next layer above it, I can't think of it. But anyway, there's different layers up there. God made all of them. And I got to thinking about all the volcanic eruptions and how they spread across the earth and how they did that and how that. And I got to thinking, I thought, okay, what does that mean? Okay, the third part of the sun was smitten. During a normal day, a third part of the sun won't be visible. Okay. And at night, a third part of the moon won't be visible. I mean, time-wise. I don't mean there'll be a little blocked-off section, and you'll say, there goes the moon, and you look at it, and there it is, right up there in the little corner, dead it out, and tomorrow night it'll come up again, and there's that same little corner. No. Time. It means a third part of the time, the moon won't be visible. It'll be covered up by atmospheric smoke that's gradually building a cloud around the entire earth. You say, are you certain of that? Absolutely positive. Why? Because God says so. And when God says something, it's supposed to make sense. And that's why he tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's for every one of us. And the third part of the sun was smitten. That means the third part of the day, you won't see it. It doesn't mean it'll go up every morning. You'll say, well, there's that little funny corner up there where it doesn't show it. No, it just a third part of the time during the day will be limited because of the actual darkening, a gradual building of a cloud mass around the earth. That's why he put the tropopause layer up there. That's why he put the ozone layer up there. That's why he made it where when you went above the actual, above the tropopause level and went up there, the stuff stayed up there. Took a long time to get out. That's why God did it. God did it. Nobody else. God. And he structured the earth to do it ahead of time. That means I have a lot more respect for him. I mean, he did all this in advance. He knew he would do it in advance. He knew from the beginning. He's God. And the third part of them was darkened. That means about a third part of the time you won't be able to see the stars. And the other third of the time at night, you will. And the day showed not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. That all makes sense then. Well, who wrote this? God. Who trained me? God. Who called me? God. Who's led me? God. Who's protected me? God. Who's watched over me during the 40 years I've been here as your pastor? I'm far from being a perfect man. I'm a very imperfect man. God's bailed me out so many times, it's pathetic. Makes me look like a sorry, no good bum. But who taught me that? God. Who's changed me? God. Who's changed you? God. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. When those three angels sound, it'll be the trumpet, the fifth trumpet, with those strange creatures. And then the next trumpet is a mighty army, a spiritual army, that is not an army of flesh and blood, but one that can affect flesh and blood. And then comes the seventh trumpet. Listen, inside me there is a burning to try and get as many people as will believe it. You're going to have to go through part of the tribulation period. If you are prepared for something and are advised of it before it happens, when you see it happen, you can accept it much better. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to start these classes. I was hoping that some people in the community would come, but it turned out that God didn't plan it for that, I guess. And every one of y'all seems to like this, and I know all the teachers love doing it, and I do too. And so there's a reason for it. And I think that after this is all over, that we will be better prepared for the tribulation period than we were before it began. So I love these classes, and I hope they continue. And I'm not at all upset when people don't show up. because there are reasons you have to go and you have to do things. And believe me, God understands that better than I do. And if you have to go visit your brother or do something like that, I don't question you. I'll ask you where you were because I want to know. And I would never have known you were down visiting Gary, because I think that's wonderful. I'm glad you did not come to this service. That's wonderful to do that. And I think there are lots of things in your life that you have to do. And this church that you come during the regular services. So God doesn't expect you to spend your whole life just learning. And you're going to visit other people is a sign of your love for them. And I wish I could do it. I just can't do it anymore. I wish I could, because it's a lot of trouble for me I feel so rotten when I get there. And I just feel like I do more harm than good. I'm not lazy. I never have been lazy, but I can teach and I can preach and I can pray for them, and I do. So I'm glad y'all came, and it was sure good being here, and I've enjoyed it. Now, the next time, I will pass out about this little demon god Pazuzu. And it's an interesting thing, because I've learned a lot about Pazuzu. When I was over there, I checked about it on my last trip and one in between there. And I checked with some of them about this demon god Pazuzu. And since I started this lecture series, I found out that he was an Assyrian and Babylonian mythology. Remember the Assyrian Empire? Remember the Babylonian Empire? Remember where the Antichrist seat is? He was the king of the demons of the wind and sun. He was the son of the god Hammi, the barrier of storms and drought. Pazuzu is often depicted as a combination of diverse animal and human parts. Now, this is very interesting. This occurred in 1968 while I was still doing the lecture series, and I didn't get a hold of it till recently. Wilford Lambert, in 1968, an archaeologist, identified a fibula with a Pazuzu head at Tel Megiddo. Now, there is where they worshiped that god, Pazuzu, and also a Sumerian Akkadian invocation. That's where they worshiped. And I'm telling you that there are some strange things on the other side of us that we've never seen, but John saw them. And thank God that he indicates this is not going to affect us. They will not bother us at all. I do not believe they will be visible to us, but I do believe that the people that don't know Christ as their Savior are going to get all kind of pains and stings like a scorpion's tail and have no idea where they're coming from. But we'll know. We'll know. And we'll be here, and God will be sheltering us and protecting us. So this is something that we have to go through, and it's something that God's preparing us for. And I sure am glad that I got to be pastor of this church, because I've learned more here than most of you. And it's been great. Except a lot of people aren't thankful for billfolds and stuff like that. Oh!